Blog Talk Radio.
Right here, what we're gonna do is go back.
Thought she rode with bad boys forever. In many ways, them boys made it better. To grow, I had to let her. She needed cheddar, and I understood that. Looking for cheese, that don't make her a hood rat. In fact, she's a queen to me. Her light beams on me. I love it when she sings to me. It's like that.
Don't stop, cause it won't quit. peace and blessings. This is Sheila Offet. You are on Beautiful Evolution Radio, our new evolution radio, where the evolution is the revolution. I am our HNIC, Joey L. You can find his show every Sunday, and you are with me every Tuesday. We are glad that you are here. We are in the series of balanced harmony with all of the goddesses that have been on. We have two more shows for the month. Next month, it will be all the gods that will be on, and we are excited. Tonight, we have our my dear confidant friend, sister. She is an advisor to me, a supporter. She holds me accountable. She's just an incredible, incredible spirit and incredible soul. Ty is with us, and we are going to get some chakra knowledge, some chakra healing, some chakra understanding. And y'all know what I say is, like, I just kind of let it be. Y'all get to eavesdrop on conversations with folks that I know who are dope, you know, and introduce you to their modality, introduce you to their gifts, introduce you to who they are to the world and how they contribute to our collective healing. And I'm excited to bring on Ty. She has been just an incredible soul, and I've known her for a very long time. And I could go on and on and on for days about how wonderful she is and how much of a soul healer that she is to the world. And I would just want you guys to experience her, so you'll get to eavesdrop on what our conversations are like and how we get to show up. You'll get to see very clearly why she is such a wonderful fit to be coming on to Beautiful Evolution, and how she should continue to do this chakra work. She's in the middle of some yoga training right now that I hope that she does share with us, and just giving you the knowledge and sharing her story and sharing her experience and sharing who she is, because she is a beautiful, beautiful soul. So without further ado, we are going to bring in the beautiful, beautiful Ty to the show. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Offet?
Yes. Hey, sis, how are you?
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show today. I'm just having a little technical difficulty. But yeah, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Good.
I'm excited.
Good.
Hello, everybody. Hello, world.
Yes. Yes. So tell us who you are.
Who am I? Well, I'm a daughter, number one. I'm a daughter of a single mother. I'm a sister. I'm a niece. I'm also a good friend. I'm a parent. I'm a healer. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a lifestyle coach, amongst other things. But those are the things that I just hold dear right there, is just being those things for people. I'm a good friend and a sister as well.
Yes. Good, good, good. So tell us how you got into chakra work.
I got into chakra work because I was just going through my own stuff. And as I was let me just start here. So my foundation of spirituality is rooted in Christianity. That's my foundation. So I had been, you know, I've been in the church for the last 20 years, you know, doing the church thing, and it's been very great. God has been very good to me, has blessed my life. But as I was journeying through my life and in past situations and relationships, I knew that something needed to change and there was something more out there. I was on Facebook, and I ran into Offet. Beautiful Evolution, and she spoke about her book, Chakra Arrangement, and I decided to take the chakra course. And as I journeyed through the chakra course, I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about how I've been blocked in a tangible way. So it was also able to help me connect more to what I was learning in Christianity. That's how I got started in chakra work, which was about 4 years ago. So I started my journey 4 years ago through that, and this is where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. Was that 4 years ago?
It's about, yeah, it's been about 3.5, almost 4 years ago, so it went very quickly.
Wow. That
it was very quickly. It was very quick. And so through that, I just learned a lot about myself. I learned more how to tap in. But I know it was also because I became vegan as well, so I was able to be more in tune with what was going on. So there's a lot of things that helped me through. But studying the chakras was really, really the big key to opening my spirituality up and to be able to walk into who I am now and to be comfortable with that and be authentic with that. So I credit you, Aset, for just being here as a friend for so long that we didn't meet this way, but we ended up this way through this journey, and for you just being there to allow me to be who I am and just to help me along the way. You know, you're such a good guide, a good coach, and I'm thankful to have you in my life. I'm really thankful to have you in my life. You see me who I am, and you see past all of the other things, and so that was also helpful to have somebody that that was just willing to, you know, do what God said and to be helpful, and you know, that's it pretty much.
And tell me about your yoga course that you're in, because I'm really excited about that, and I am hoping to make time so I can commit to it, because it sounds so dope. So tell us about the yoga class and you know, Lakshmi.
Okay.
Tell us about all of that.
So this experience started as I was in meditation, and I got out of meditation, and it was like, you should be a yoga coach. And I'm like, no, it's too long. It's a 9-month program. And so I ended up starting the yoga process last year in September. You fill out the application. I started the yoga immersion course in January, and it's through Satya Yoga. I'm cohort 6, so I'm the sixth group of people that will be graduating here in September through that. The immersion course is really deep. It's, you know, you learn that yoga is not an exercise at all. You learn that there's very many different levels to yoga, but different ways of practicing yoga. But you also just learn the history of it. Yoga is a very spiritual practice. Yoga is what you make it. Yoga is, it prepares your mind for meditation. Yoga prepares you to enter into a higher realm. But the immersion course, it doesn't just talk about yoga and yoga asanas. It also talks about the injustices that comes with yoga. It talks about, we learn about the injustice part of it. We also learn about walking in our authentic self. It's a very intense program. Every Thursday I leave the program, is 3 hours long. You're drained, but it's a good drain, but it pulls from you. You know, it makes you really look at relationships with your parents, relationship with your mother, with your mother and your father, relationship with your community, relationships with yourself, all those things. It makes you really look very deep within and see how those relationships have cultivated you and what may need to change. What I found a lot of us, it's because the Satya Yoga program is for just people of color only. So that's a great thing. So you're in that program with people pretty much that have been through a lot of the same things that you have, but a lot of times we don't think that. A lot of people are hurting out here. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of people that have bad relationships with their mother, their father, and a lot of that starts, you know, when you're young, and it messes you up. It blocks your chakras. So just working through each chakra. So right now, last week, we were at our crown chakra. So we just finished that Thursday. we'll be getting our astrology reading, and that will be the end of that class. And then we'll, in July and August, we'll start to practice more of the asanas and the teacher training program. But it's very, I mean, it's very intense. Whatever you want out of it, that's what you'll get, but it will open you up. It will open you up. If you're not a writer, it'll make you write. If you don't cry, it'll make you cry. It'll make you reevaluate your relationship with people, things, the earth. One of the things that really stood out to me about the chakra course was the relationship to your feminine energy. You know, I show up a lot as in a masculine energy, but it opened me up and made me see how powerful and strong the feminine energy is, and how you need both. You need to balance both in order to continue to be great. It's not just one or the other, it's both. And another great thing I got out of it is just connecting with the earth. You know, Mother Earth is very, very important. We have abused the earth so much to where, you know, she's like, I need a time out. Those are the things that stood out. A lot of other things, but the program is phenomenal. I recommend, if you just want to even just take the immersion course, just take that course, that part of it.
I'm excited. I can't wait to be able to take it. I need, you know, always being in that instructor seat is not healthy, you know, and so like I always want to make sure like I'm around where I can be student mode and actually more than instructor mode. You know what I mean? Like I prefer that.
So
thank you for that. I can't wait. I can't wait to. I see how excited you are in our friendship. Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I wish I could have taken it with you, because this would have been so fun with you. But I'm excited to take it.
You're gonna love it. Yeah, like you said, you know, it's good just to, you know, continue to be in that student mode and to learn. You know, you think you learn. I mean, I took the Chakra Beautiful Evolution course, but this also. It just added on to it. It just blew it out of the water, because, you know, it's not about religion. It's not about this, you know, practicing religion. It's just about practicing for yourself, but also just becoming a whole, full human being and looking at yourself, looking really deep within yourself. A lot of times we don't look deep within ourselves. We don't hold ourselves accountable to our own mess ups, you know, and with that, when you practice it, it makes you look at all aspects, you know? It makes you look at things in a different perspective, in a more healing perspective, you know?
Yes, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. So when we talk about healing, and I think it's really important, because I also, for years, have admired your how you were committed to Christ, right? Like, I also admired seeing your commitment there. Can you talk about your Christianity journey and the connecting to all, right? Like, and how, I mean, even attending church, like I am a part of a particular church because I saw your commitment to Christianity there, and I still see continuous growth. But can you talk about, because I think a lot of times people think that you get into this evolved level of spirituality and you abandon whatever, and maybe you do, right? Maybe you do. But just talk about your own journey, and really, what does it mean to be Christ-like, right? Like, what really is that?
To me, you know, as I've, this journey is, it's been rewarding. It's been growth. You know, being a Christian, it gave me the foundation. It also gave me the just the fortitude and the practice to keep going. That's what that gave me. It gave me a lot of growth, and it gave me stability. I started off in Christianity. I just was going to church. You know, I I just was like, okay, I need to go to church. There was some other things in my life that I was involved in, and I just said to myself, you know what, I'll commit this part to it. I'll go to church, and I'll do tithes and offering, and that's what I told God. I'm going to commit to this. I don't know how all the rest of it's going to unravel. I had never read a Bible before, didn't understand it, did not grow up in the church, so nobody pressured me to do this. This was something that my spirit was called to do. And so I just started going from there, and I just started going all the time. I didn't like a lot of the things that were said, but I bypassed that because I knew that I was there for God, and it wasn't for anything else. So that was a big part of it, of why I knew that I wasn't doing it for nobody else but God. And so did that, and I was good with that. But the last 3 years of my life, these last three years, God just started pulling on me in a different direction. He wanted me to do something different, but not necessarily forget the teachings that I had learned. You know, I've had some great teachers. I've had some great men and women of God in my life. So I've learned a lot from them, but God wanted me to do something else, and I didn't know what that was. But he started pulling me. I had to open myself up to other belief systems and other people. There was a point in my life that I was very, as I'm starting down this journey and getting these teachings, if you wasn't going to church or if you didn't believe this way, then I wasn't going to be bothered with you, period. At that point, it was like I blocked myself from a lot of things. It's like I shut my own self out. 3 years ago, I opened that up. I opened that up, and I just started to talk to other people, other beliefs, you know, and just kind of looked at people and, you know, like start looking at people as people versus what their belief system was or religion. I had to leave that alone because in order for me to do what it is that God has for me to do, that can't be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I just started that and still going to church, still doing this the chakra course and stuff like that. And then I started to see that there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of the same teaching, but the verbiage is different. So I picked that up very quickly. I picked it up very quickly in a lot of teachings, a lot of religion. A lot of the stuff overlaps. It's just about how the teaching is administered and how you apply it to your life. So that kind of fueled that, and you know, just still going along, and still in my mind there's conflict within me, because I'm like, wait a minute, well, I don't want to abandon God, I don't want to do this, and he's like, you're not going to abandon me because I am everywhere, I am one, it does not matter, I am one. You know, I'm one. You can't abandon me because I'm in you. I'm a part of you. You can't do, you know. Uh-huh. And so it took me a minute, and so I had to just make a decision and says, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to follow what God has for me, and it's something different. It's not about religion. It's about there's one God, and there's several ways to get to God, several practices to get to God. And to be able to accept people and to love people, that's what God is about, you know. And so right now, that's where I'm at. And so now I took the journey into yoga and the chakra course, and, you know, I study a couple of other things as well. But it all leads to God, and it all leads to a deeper understanding of yourself. I think if we could get out of our way and understand that, you know, God is just bigger than just religion. God is bigger than, you know, what is taught in between four walls. We'll get there. God is, you know, we are God. You know, God is the Ruach, the breath of God, you know, the prana. It all goes in, it's in and out of us, you know. And when we get there and just say, you know what, I'm open. And that's what happened. I just opened myself up, and I stopped just resisting, let's say that, resisting, and just open it up. You know, I still, you know, go to church. You know, I still do the things that I'm supposed to do there as well, but I also practice this. And you also asked, what is Christ like? Christ like is your third eye, you know. That's Christ, you know. Christ is, you know, practicing to get aligned with God. You know, Christ is a consciousness. Christ is a consciousness as well, to be Christ-like, to be, so when we talk about the Bible and the things and the miracles that Christ did, that's Christ-like, giving you an example of what Christ-like is. And so that's my belief. That's what I believe.
And when we talk about our third eye and opening that up, walk us through, you know, how each chakra is really like in its own self, but still like connected to them all. Like, how important is blocking or unblocking for getting to where all seven are open and we're reaching above and beyond ourselves? Like, how important is that, and how would you describe that relationship between one chakra to a chakra that's trying to operate and still continue to manifest for us?
Well, you know, number one, you have to surrender to yourself. You have to get out of your way. You have to acknowledge that there are some things in your life that you could do better, you could have done better, or you could have treated a person better. That's number one. You have to acknowledge that. You have to look at yourself. You really have to take that mirror back on yourself. A lot of times we continue to stay blocked is because we blame everybody else. A lot of times we don't want to take accountability. So when you're working on unblocking chakras, you have to work with all of them, and you have to work with yourself. And it's a process, and we have to trust that. Because if one is unblocked, if the root chakra is unblocked, but your heart chakra is unblocked, you're never going to reach the throat or the third eye or the crown chakra. You have to, they have to start to unblock. So you have to go through the process of unblocking those. You have to, every time I think about it as I'm talking about it now, it all comes back to self. It all comes back to, you know, your root chakra being your stability. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about your community? How do you feel about your relationship with your mom? You know, one of the things that I learned through the immersion program is we carry our mom's pain depending how we were birthed or how we were conceived or the conditions we were conceived in or what was happening at that time. You know, that energy comes out in you as a child and you don't even know why you were heavy, you know? So, you know, trying to, you know, repair that, you know, relationship with your parents, with your mother, you know? And then, you know, you go on to your sacral chakra, you know, what does that look like? You know, you have to start to look at the blockages in that area, you know, like what needs to be unblocked there. So each chakra, you got to do one by one, and you got to do it deep. And, you know, just take on one thing at a time, though. You don't want to, like, take on all of it. Just deal with one thing. If you know that your relationship with your mother is not doing well, or it had not been well, or there's some things there, you got to go back and look at that. Like, what happened? First, you got to look at you and see why the relationship is not good. And then once you do that, you start to have those hard conversations with your mother about this. It's not about blaming, but it's about, you know, you have to get some things out and ask some questions, because a lot of times we think that things are just the way they are, but we don't know why, you know? We don't know why. Sometimes just having an understanding of why that happened or what was going on at that time in your life or in that person's life of how that manifested could start to clear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also with some root chakra asanas can also help clear that, to move that energy through your body as well. So it's just kind of, you know, that's how you start to unlock them. They don't all unlock at once, because to be truthfully honest, I've been doing this work for about 4 years now, and I'm still constantly going back and like, oh, dang, that, you know, this and that and the other, are still working through them. So it's a lifelong journey. You don't never stop. You keep going, like, So glory to glory, manifestation to manifestation, divinity to divinity, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to do the basics first. First, you got to like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. You got to make the decision, and then you have to make the decision to stick with it. I want to say you had told us in class, like, once you start this, you got to keep going, because if you stop the work, it gets worse.
Yes, 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 yes. And to speak on that mothering for the family, there's a wonderful book that Iyanla Van Zandt has written called In the Meantime. And she talks about of your parents when they were conceiving you, and then the state of your mother when she was carrying you and birthing you, and what we pass on to our children. And so it's this twofold thing, right? Like, first we need to acknowledge that we carry our mother's shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we carry our mother's shit. Our mothers passed it on a lot of times unintentionally. And then when we do this work, it's also our job as parents to equip our children, because, you know, I didn't know my oldest is now 17. And, you know, I'm in this place of like, nope, son, that's my shit. I taught you that. That's not healthy. Give that back. Don't do that. You know, in giving him these tools. And my hope and my goal and my prayer is that if he becomes a father, you know, when that day comes, years and years and years from now, but when that day comes, he'll be conscious enough, you know, to really, really be clear that he'll do his chakra work, that he'll do his healing work, and he won't pass on shit to my grandchildren. And so, like, we also, right, like, there's this thing, it's particularly for folks of color, like, and particularly Black folks in America, we have these layered approaches. Like, I have to do my self-work because my self-work also heals my past generations. It's setting up my future generation. There's really no room for individuality. And really, when you do healing work, you realize that individuality isn't real. You know what I mean? Like, you realize, like, this is not, no one is existing in this thing by themselves. And that doesn't mean that you don't hold yourself accountable. That doesn't mean that you don't say, I need some time. But you recognize that the time that you're taking or the time that you're healing yourself is because you know that you contribute to the greater good of the whole. And so it still always winds up being a contributing factor. How do you see, Ty, what's going on in the world, particularly social justice and coronavirus, right? Like, how has this impacted the collective chakra, the collective healing, and what, from your wise perspective, what are you taking from these two things?
I'm taking with this is that Mother Earth needs a rest. I'm taking that it's time to heal the earth. It's time to heal the feminine energy that's been so brutally stepped on and disregarded. The earth needs to heal. And so sometimes what I believe is that this happened because it needed a rest. Things just needed to rest. Everybody needed a rest. Everybody needed a reset. You know, we've been not very good to the planet in no ways at all. I mean, we have a lot of people flying all the time. We're always flying. We're flooding the beaches, you know, trash, you know, we're littering, you know, we're cutting down all the trees. We have the Amazon forest just burning, which is causing the earth to heat up, which is causing climate change and different things like that. And so I believe that it just was a time for a shift in the collective. And so in order for the collective to shift, the earth also had to shift. And so to me, that's how all of this stuff was bought on. And that's why it's been used that way, because the earth, the whole nation had to shut down and all the countries had to shut down. And so we've noticed, you know, different things in different countries that hadn't been noticed. Like in India, you were able to see the Himalayan mountains, and that was something you wasn't able to see in 35 years. You know, the ozone layer is healing itself. You know, the beaches, the water is clear. You know, that's because us as humans, we have not played very well and have not shared the earth like we're supposed to. And also with the coronavirus, however they said it came, but we haven't been being very good to the animals, the plant kingdom. I mean, the animal kingdom, you know, we're slaughtering animals. We're just doing whatever, you know, we're not sharing. It's the animals come, they're in the mountains. That's where they're supposed to be. We see them, they kill them.
You know, right, right.
They're killing the elephants. And so I just think it's just God's way. And, you know, Mother Nature, like, you know what, enough is enough. Have to reset. And through this, everybody has had to reset. Everybody's had to look at themselves. Everybody, you know. And if they didn't look at themselves, if they don't come out transformed or even starting to transform, then they will get left behind.
And getting left behind, like we said, I think it's, I think we tend to think, like, healing is pretty and fluffy. You know, like, people are like, I got awakened and now I am just beautiful. And listen, when you do your healing work, if it's not ugly and if it don't tear you down, it's not real healing work, fam. Like, it's not real healing work. If you are not tested, tried, and if something, if you are constantly in a state of feeling good and you are calling your process a healing process, it's not really healing. Why do you think people are afraid to do their work? What keeps us from not showing up to do our work?
Fear. They're afraid to go deep. People are afraid to go deep. They're afraid to look at themselves. They're afraid to look at that dark side. You know, everybody always want to come out shiny. Nobody want to say, you know what, I do have a shadow side. Let me make friends with that. What's going on? You know, people are very scared and they're very hurtful. You know, they don't want to go back there, but that's the only way it's going to heal. And like you said, healing is ugly, and that's the whole nation's healing. It's been ugly. You know, people acting crazy because they couldn't get their hair cut. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People acting crazy for, you know, numerous things. And you're like, there's something that's going on that you shouldn't, you know, just be out here like that. But they were mad because they don't want to sit with themselves. Everybody's like, I can't sit with myself. I can't look at myself. I don't need all that time to myself, because they're afraid. They're afraid of what they're going to come across, because 9 times out of 10, people cause their own demise in their lives. People cause, they manifest the negative in their life. And if you, when you start to heal, you have to look at, like, oops, I caused that. Yep, you know what? I manifested that. I did speak that into existence. You know, people think, oh, I knew that was going to happen and this and that. It's like, yeah, because you spoke it.
Right.
People forget that they are a speaking spirit. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. Once you speak it out of your mouth, it's going to come true. So you am what you think. So you have to be mindful. And so people are very, very scared to look at themselves. It's so easy to point the finger at somebody else. It's so easy to look at somebody else's odds and dark side and what you don't like or what they're not doing. Or, you know, if they was a true Christian, they wouldn't do this. Or if they was a true Muslim, they would act like this. Or if they were this, it's so easy to do that. But when you have to turn that light on yourself, you know, it's like turning the light on the roaches. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh my God. And that's why people are so afraid to start their work. They want to heal, but they want you to give them a pill. They don't want to have to work through that.
Right.
How do we get past our fear? What pushes us to say, I'm no longer fearful?
You have to want to heal. You have to want to say, you know what? I can deal with it. You know what? The good, the bad, the ugly. Let me just get it done, because fear is false evidence appearing real, but fear is in your mind, though. You know, fear is locked in your mind. Fear is not even real. It's just something that you don't want to see. Fear is not real, but once we push past those things and just work on it little by little, you know, little chunk by little chunk, you don't have to take the whole process. You just got to let a little bit out. You know, a lot of times we hold stuff in, and that's why we have a lot of the physical ailments that come with that, is because we hold stuff in. You know, we hold it in for so long, and then we're wondering why it's coming out, and maybe diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, back aches, headaches, weight gain, you know, because we're not letting it out in no way. A lot of times people are fearful because they don't want people to know what they've done or what they've been through, because they're embarrassed. It's all because of somebody else. It has, they're embarrassed and not understanding that the things that they had to endure or the things that they walked out of, that they're victorious of that. You know, nobody's here to judge. And a lot of people are scared. They don't want to know that this happened in their family and this and that, because it's so hurtful and they've buried it so far, but not realizing there's still triggers there that, that remind them of that.
Yes. And how do that embarrassment is real, right? Like I can attest to myself. Like I have been so embarrassed of dumb things that I was going through, that I did crazy stuff, like lied or, you know, whatever, to not have to face it. And when you get to, it's even bigger than like getting tired of being tired. When you realize the agony and the prison, really, that the trauma has you in, you almost, the breakthrough is almost just as dramatic, you know what I mean, as the step in the process where you are feeling like you need to release. When we talk about the release, where does that energy go? Because energy doesn't die, it's not created. How do we make those releasing energies become productive after so long of them being harmful and destructive to us?
You have to, you know, one way to release that energy is through journaling, you know, finding something to put that energy into to be positive, you know, self-love, you can put that energy into self-love, you know, it has to be something that's going to also uplift you. You know, you got to let it go. You could do a couple of rituals, write yourself a letter. You know, number one, you got to forgive yourself. I think a lot of times people forget to forgive themselves. They forget that they matter. We've been so conditioned to where it's about everybody else. It's about our neighbors, about our brothers, about our mom. But nobody's not taught us it's okay. It's about you. Because if I'm not healed, if I'm not allowing this stuff to go, then I'm no good to be that parent or that sister or anything like that, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to find those ways that yoga is a great way to release that energy, to move that energy through your body, you know, taking your breath, taking deep breaths. You know, a lot of times we take advantage of that, we have breath and we do shallow breathing. So that's another way to allow that energy to be released. Speaking your truth is another way to allow that energy to be released. You know, meditation is another way to allow that energy to be released, and to, you know, speak positive affirmations and positivity into yourself, you know, is another way just to bring that energy back in a positive way. You know, you have to encourage yourself. You know, you can't wait for nobody else. You know, that's my practice. That's what I believe. That's what helps me. I have to let that go. Once I identify it, I have to deal with it, and I have to put some medicine in it, some niacin or something in it, rinse it out, and let it go. You know, and it will come back if it's not all the way gone, and you deal with it. You know, you just let it go. You work on your steps to let it go. Like, okay, this is not me. This is not who I am. You know, all it is just there. It's just energy, and it's just a mindset. And if we change our mindsets about ourselves, you've already won the battle. It's in your mind. Our mind keeps us prisoners. It ain't got nothing else to do with nothing else. If it's in your mind, if your mind say you dumb, then you're going to think you dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think, too, there's also this new appeal. So, like, I think healing is the new sexy, right? Like, it's not.
Right.
It's like, if you are not doing your work, or if you don't know how to be graceful and give space for one, yourself, as well as the people that you claim you love, you're not appealing anymore. Like, it's like, oh, you don't do your work? Oh, yeah, I can't fool with you. I can't fuck with you. You know, like, it's just like, I'm not even spiritual attraction is just so much louder than physical, sexual, mental, emotional. You know, like, it's like, are you spiritually showing up, saying being who you say you claim to be, and are you spiritually accepting who the universe has created you to be? And when you're not, it's like when you're doing your own work, it's very clear, like, this is it. This that's not appealing anymore, because the entire planet is going through an ascension. Like, we are, exactly. Those of us who are in healing work, we're not special, you know? Like, everybody is ascending, and you can't stop the ascension from happening. What you can do is ignore it and choose not to embrace it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. And so I think it's really, really important for all of us to know, like, even for the people, and people will halfway do their work. Right, like they'll halfway do it and say, "Well, this is enough. This is enough. That's I don't it. Have to do it. Uh-huh. I don't have to go deeper than this. I don't have to show up greater than this." And feel like, I'm still proud. I'm still happy that folks are doing that. But the reality is, like, the whole approach, because the whole planet is doing this and showing up. And so, are you walking and saying who you are? Right, and so I think that's powerful.
No, it's very powerful to be able to hold space for people. But I like what you said about the gratitude. That is so important. I mean, if nothing else, you don't hear anything else today. Gratitude is like, it will open so many doors for you. It will just open your own self up just to be grateful. A lot of times we complain. A lot of times we don't even see the gratefulness that's in front of us. You know, we just complain about our lives. We complain about this and complain about that, and don't even understand just being here on Earth as a human is a blessing in itself. You know, so I think that's really important, just to practice gratitude while you're doing your work. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes if you don't choose to do your work, the work is going to choose you. You're going to do it. It may come in a different form, but you're going to have to do it. Because it gets to a point, like right now, to where the nation is to a point to where everybody got to do their work. Even the planet has to do his work. You know what I'm saying? The planet, she got to do her work.
Yeah.
The animals are doing their work.
Yes. Everybody. Even when you said, like, the planet needed a break, like, we saw wildlife coming back around. We saw, everyone is doing their work and doing their work well when they allow it. So,
exactly. I mean, what we're witnessing with the rising, that's doing their work. You know, there's been plenty of people, black men, killed with videotapes, you know?
Right.
We've seen it. Now this one is special though, you know, because the work has to be done for the nation. That's the only way it's going to heal. With the systems being broken down and restarted, that's doing the work. You know, you got to get deep in there and have those conversations about what's going on. That's doing the work. So the nation has to start doing their work too, and that's what's happening.
Yes, yes, yes. And we're seeing it. We're experiencing it. I think it's a wonderful time to be alive, and it's also a traumatic time to be alive, right? And so, but that's balance. That's harmony.
Yeah.
It should be so beautiful and so trying, and not trying in a way that's negative, but holding us accountable to being who we say we are. And so I just think it's powerful.
It's very powerful.
How can people get in contact with you? Do you do courses? Do you do, like, how experience you?
Yeah, they could just email me and then I'll get back with them. I do some chakra healing courses. It's about a 5-week course that we do, and we just take a journey through the chakras, and, you know, and from there on, I'll be there to assist you through it and to listen and to hold space for you and, you know, get you going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Going. So, yeah, I could. My email address is Thailands1, Thyland, Z as in zebra, 1 as in the number 1 at yahoo.com. And you could just email me and say that you're interested in doing some chakra work, and we'll get that going.
Awesome.
I also, in October, I'll be teaching some yoga courses, some yoga meditation and chakra healing. So I'm going to put all that together. So it's going to be real fun, you know, show people how to actually, you know, get through these, you know, just get through these chakras and heal them, you know. Right now I do have some instructors that I have virtual classes through Be Well Health and Wellness. You can go to bewellconnect.net and look under the COVID tab, and we have some virtual classes there. And so we are actually taking we're actually doing chakra yoga and chakra meditation right now. So we are in our second week. So next week we will be on the sacral chakra, no, the solar plex chakra. So we'll be doing that, and you know, just getting people healed if they want it. You know, that's the thing about this work. People have to come and they have to want it. They have to commit to themselves, you know, and I think a lot of times it's just hard for people to commit to themselves. It's so easy to put you off, your own self off, and say, oh, I got to do this or I couldn't make it. But if it was for somebody else or for your kids' event, you're going to be dedicated. But when it comes to you, people are so, you know, wishy-washy when it comes to themselves because they don't honor themselves enough to put themselves first and to understand that it's okay to put yourself first. Because I can't put anybody else, I can't do anything for anybody else if I don't put myself first, if I don't be good to myself. And learning and starting your healing process and your journey is putting you first so you can be the great things for everybody else in your life.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. If you are on the lines, our lines are full. If you're on the lines, go ahead and press one, and we will bring you in. You can ask your chakra questions, concerns, or just give thanks to Ty for being with us tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Right on.
And survival. I remember when my ninth grade teacher asked me, Lisa, what do you want to be when you grow up? And see, I have to fight the Harlem Crip-30s every day to get home from school, so I looked at her and said, alive. I took an English class. I got a fail in English. And my English teacher said in front of the entire class, Lisa, you have to be the weakest writer I've ever met in my entire life. Don't worry, my story ends good. Don't feel sorry for me. I got 7 under my belt. And then the same year, my speech teacher said, after giving me a D minus, I knew I had an A in speech. Like, come on. He obviously didn't agree with me. He gave me a D minus and said, quote unquote, Miss Nichols, I recommend you never speak in public, that you get a desk job. So here's the beauty of that story. Other people's perception of you ain't none of your business. Everything you've ever been through, set through, rolled through, cried through, prayed through, everything is a setup for your next best season. And the way you forgive the perceivingly unforgivable, the way you love the perceivingly unlovable, the way you accept what seems to be unacceptable, the way you embrace after you've been betrayed, the way you do that is the way you will lead us. Your light belongs to everyone who'll be illuminated because you were bold enough and obedient enough to let your light shine. Yes, yes? Yes, yes? And every time you cross someone's path and they can't handle your light, you know those people, that they try to give you reasons why you should tone it down a bit. That they would tell Cheryl not to sing so loud.
Hey!
Right, right, right. They would tell me to shut up in class. They tell you you're kind of strange. You know those people, dream snatchers, vision busters. Don't be mad at them. They can only love you to the capacity in which they're able to love themselves. Don't be mad at them. Don't be mad at them. Pray for them. Love them. Because they're dealing with themselves like we're dealing with us. But I want you to remember that your 70 watts has to be turned way up, because you got way more to give us. It ain't over yet. Don't put a period where God put a comma. And when you turn it up to 159 watts, you know, you keep turning it up. You like, you stop dimming your light. You say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. You turn it up. You're going to find people that can't handle your light. And before today, you might have dimmed your light. You might have shrunk a little bit. You might have tempered it down a little bit. But after today, I want you to see this. After today, turn the lights up. After today, you don't dare dim your light. As your light gets brighter, as your light gets brighter, you're going to disrupt some people. And they're going to tell you your light's too bright. Your light's too bright. Your light's too bright. Your light's too bright. Then you just look at them and say, well, I'm not dimming my light. I'm just going to hand you some shade.
To the New Evolution Radio Network, where the evolution is the revolution.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back. We have special, wonderful guests. My one of my sis and confidants, Ty. I'm glad that you guys got to really just eavesdrop. This is like I said. My guests are really people in my life, and we have folks who are not really in my life who come on the show as well. However, this series has been great because you guys have actually been able to, like, eavesdrop on sisterhood conversations, and this is literally how we talk. We're not gossiping about stuff. We're not doing, like, we literally are talking about healing and holding each other accountable. So I'm excited. Hi. Are you ready?
Yes.
I think we have some folks on the line who want to give in. Brother Joey, can you go ahead and handle the switchboard? I walked away from my computer.
All right, no problem. 314-280, you're on the line.
Peace to the goddess.
Peace to the God. How are you?
All right, Goddess. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening with my dear friend and my guide and my confidant, Ty. You got some question or comment or anything for Ty?
No, I just wanna thank the sisters for sharing, and I know it's needed in the community, so I just wanna thank you for taking the time out to share that love. That's all.
Yes. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yes. So I'm gonna say peace, sister. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to 518-986-1.
Peace, goddesses. How are you today?
Well, how are you?
I'm excellent. I'm listening, and I am, happy to hear the conversation of, healing. And, what Ty said was fear. And my take on why people are so, apprehensive about healing is because they're comfortable. A lot of people find comfort in their mess. They're like a pig in a pig pen with mud, and they get, happy and content. And why change? Because they find that it's not broken according to how they've been living. So that they apply the "if it ain't broke, don't fix it," saying to that whole, to their life. But, they don't know what they don't know, so they don't know what they don't know, so they ain't trying to fix something that they don't know that's broken. And so my thing is, so they They rather get comfortable in their mess rather than realizing that the change that is necessary to take them to the next level, you know, they don't know. So, and when they do start, if they do start, you know, it is messy because I'm always changing. My saying for me is, I'm not the same person I was even when I first listened to this conversation. The person I started at 7 o'clock, I'm not that same person because I have a new understanding of new information. So when you take that approach, you're always going to start evolving and keep learning and keep shedding like a snake that sheds its skin and sheds the layers of, you know, the what was, and then you're becoming what is. And so that, and then when Ty was started talking earlier about her walk in Christianity, a lot of us was raised in Christianity, and I myself was a Pentecostal Christian, raised in that, and which, you know, is a little bit more, you know, gotta wear the dress and this, that, and the third, whatever. But I remember the one of the first lessons I learned in this session was with a lady, and she was talking about how the Bible is a metaphysical book. And ever since I heard that, my brain has like been pulling from its archives of stories of what I've learned as a, you know, a little kid, a teenager, and even an adult. And I'm sitting here saying, holy cow. Because I always just say, like, there's no feminine energy in the Bible. But now that I'm starting to overstand some shit, I'm like, well, god damn, it's all up in this bitch. It's energy. The feminine energy is literally in the book. But but what's necessary to also, like, put into that whole thing is the Ankh. The Ankh is the original cross. And the cross that is portrayed now, that cross is not the cross of, it's not the cross of life. That's essentially the cross of death. And I remember learning that, you know, where when you see that, that represents death. And the Ankh represents life because you have the woman, she's the circular part. The crossing is the child, and the pillar that holds up everything is the male, and that represents God, the Trinity, the divinity, and that is what is the cross. So I could go on about the aha moments I've had about realizing the feminine energy in that book, but I guess that will be for a later time. But Offset, I don't remember ever, well, it probably was said, but your contact information, can you just drop that I can listen to it again and get it so I can connect with you, please?
Yes, absolutely. My contact is, you can shoot me a text after the show, 720-620-2316. And you can go to the website, it's www.healeroffsetmerriam.com. That's H-E-A-L-E-R. AUSETMARYAM.com. But the text is easier. You can go to the site just to kind of see your services, but the text is probably easiest.
Because I thrive on communication and connectivity. I'm a straight Gemini, and that whole sense of it all. And if I don't connect and communicate, like, I don't feel like whole and complete, and I'm not giving my energy, and I just feel overwhelmed because I'm not releasing what I need to release. So,
Give me a call. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Ty, for your time. And I will definitely look into your services as well, Ty. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right, peace, gods, goddesses.
Peace. If you are on the line, please go ahead and press 1, and we can get you in. Otherwise, we will continue our dialogue around healing and what it means to heal. How does it feel, sis, to I know you get this often, but how does it feel to you impacting folks across the country? These are area codes that are not in our city, right? So how do you walk us through the journey of like accepting your gifts and how you are supposed to deliver your gifts to the rest of us?
You know, to be truthfully honest, I just, within the last year and a half, I just accepted it. I had to understand it. This is just something I've always done. So I've always spoken to people. I've always spoken life into people. God has always given me the discerned spirit. Didn't really know what it was. It's just always been there. Even before I started going to church, practicing Christianity, this is just something that I am. And so just to be here with you and to talk about it is, it's like, wow, like, okay, this is actually happening, you know, it's been prophesied to me and manifested, you know, a long time coming. So it feels good. It feels good to be able to get it out. Like the last, sister that was on the phone, like, you know, sometimes you feel clogged up because you just can't revelate, you know, you can't confirm, you know. With me, my gift is I'm confirmation. So when I show up, confirmation shows up pretty much. So I tell people what they already know. I just come to confirm it. So it feels really good to be able to share my gift with everybody. And for people to share with people that can receive it. I've shared my gifts with many people, but they don't know how to receive it. And so that right there, basically, like, you are casting your pearls before swine. You know, you're dropping nuggets, and they're just letting them all fall to the ground. So I have to learn to my discernment. I have to discern who's ready for it. And so now I have this thing, you know, if you're not going to receive it, stop me now. You know, I don't want to just be giving, because as I give, I'm also giving energy. I'm also giving a part of myself, which, you know, I'm giving a part of my virtue. And, you know, you have to go back and recharge. So, but it's a blessing to be able to share my gifts with people. So I'm stoked. I'm excited.
How do you get, what are some tools you can give people? Because you said, you know, you just surrender. You just allow yourself to be the vessel that God uses. How did you get to that point? What are some tools that you can pass to everyone else? And we're thankful. I'm thankful as your friend and I'm thankful that you have accepted it, because you've always been that for me personally and selfishly, but I'm so excited to see you fully accepting it and surrendering. But what are some tools that you can give folks? This is how you surrender to how God uses you.
Well, one of the things I had help from spiritual advisors, you know, of course, my bishop, you've helped me with through that, and I got a couple of other friends that have spiritually advised me and helped me to understand what was happening. So that was a tool. So if you have somebody that you can talk to and you can, you know, because a lot of times you may not know what's going on. You know, stuff is all crashing and crazy in your life, and you just don't know. So having somebody to be able to talk to, you know, for them to hold space for you, that's one tool that I use. Another tool I use is I just started to research myself, what was happening. So research is always good. And just to know who you are, I don't know if a lot of it is my foundation in Christianity, that I failed the tug. So I knew that. And then just to surrender to the other part that God has for me, you know, that right there. So just having a foundation, whatever that foundation may be, it could be like the lady, the sister that just got the phone, Pentecostal. That could be her foundation. If you're Muslim, so sometimes it's that foundation, but you just want to go deeper. I'm also a student of self-realization, which is in LA with Parinanda Yogananda. So he's a spiritual science, and so spiritual science has also helped me. So being also just continue to be a student of whatever it is that God is calling you towards. So I'm always a student. I have not arrived yet, and I'm not going to arrive. I never arrive. So when I keep it as a student, so I'm always learning. always constantly learning. So I'm just at a point in my life to that I'm discerning. So if this pops up, a teacher pops up in my life, I'm like, oh, it must be time for me to learn that part. So those are my tools. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, I do YouTube on Facebook, so I do a lot of meditation. I do a lot of chakra meditation, guided meditation, yoga, working out, eating right, you know, just my body, you know, showing reverence to God every day and everything I do. Rather mm-hmm. eating, working out, you know, spending time with myself. So those are some tools to get more in tune with yourself. So those are the things I do. So you could real easy start working on your chakras, you know, unlocking that, you know, yoga and meditation. Those are three things that I know that people can follow.
Mm-hmm.
So those
Walk us through. You've shared a few times that you are vegan. Tell us about that journey. I think that is always a hard press for folks. And by the way, I'm eating vegan right now. I go through things, but I am eating. I usually try to eat by the season. So in summertime, I strive to be vegan. Tell us about that journey for you. Like how did you come to like, I am going to fully be vegan?
Yeah, well, I came to that. It started with, it was almost like a bang thing. I saw this lady, internet, the news, and she had been eating vegan for about 30 years, and she started eating vegan when she was 40. And, you know, she didn't look over the age of 25, 30, and I was like, oh, and I started reading about it before it even became popular. And I just started reading about it, all the benefits from it. I was like, wow, really? You can stop aging? You can stop this? And so it took me a couple of years before I actually committed to it. But once I committed to it, so how I did that is I was on my church and I were on a 21-day Daniel's fast. And I've done 21-day Daniel's fast. I could do that with my eyes closed. So, you know, I had already given up meat. And so I just said in my mind, 6 months before I became vegan, I processed it in my mind. This is what I'm going to do. And once that 21-day Daniel fast was up about 4.5 years ago, I just took it each day at a time because I was already not eating meat, dairy, none of that stuff for 21 days. And I just kind of, you know, did it and started doing that. And once I started doing that, I just started to feel different. But I started looking at the world differently, the earth, being more in tune with the earth and being more in tune with the animals and, like, the birds. I'm like, I don't even want to kill a bug. You know, it's like, come on, you know. They got their
mm-hmm.
body, you know, and then being more in tune with spirit as well. So that was my journey. But like I tell anybody, you know, do what they can. You know, some people may not go all out and just stop. You may have a meatless Monday, but I guarantee if you just cut down and maybe do a 80-20 diet, 80% plant and 20% maybe meat, maybe one day out of the week meat, you'll feel a lot better. And it just helps your body to get into alignment as well. A lot of times the things that we eat a lot of dead stuff, meaning like dead animals and things like that. And so it lowers your vibration. You don't vibrate as high as you should. So that was also my reason for vegan. But like I said, it was in the beginning, it was vain. I just wanted to, you know, stay looking all young and vibrant. And
right.
You know, I didn't want to keep aging. I'm like, if the meat make you age like that, I'm going to have to stop.
So
that was the journey right there. That was it.
How do you ensure it doesn't impact you socially, right? Like, folks are always like, well, when I go to my family's house for dinner, then I can't eat. How do you make sure you can stay authentic to being a vegan while not, like, becoming a hermit and not engaging with social activities?
You eat before you go, or you take your own food.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've been, so I take a Beyond Burger or something like that. But most of the times I try to eat before I go, you know, a lot of times now that my family and stuff is used to it and my friends, they used to just be planned on about there's some condiments over there, Ty, or you can just have some lettuce. But now they're being thoughtful, you know, about making sure they have something for me to eat there. So that's a blessing there. We just had a gathering over here at the house. It was our pandemic pride party. We checked everybody's temperature, but it was interesting because we served hamburgers, and because my partner is a meat eater, and I don't eat meat, and so we had regular hamburgers, and then we had Beyond Burgers, and all the people that came, everybody all of a sudden, well, I ain't eating meat right now. I'm not eating meat. I'm like, what?
Right,
so
right.
We had more burgers left over than the Beyond Burgers. I just thought that was funny because these are people, you know, I knew a couple of people didn't eat meat, and, you know, there was only like 10 people over. But majority of the people, I think there was like 3 people that ate regular burgers. So it's catching on. A lot of people are just getting more conscious about what they're putting in their body, and not looking at it as a death sentence, but looking at it as, you know what, I'm going to feel better. It's going to make me live a happier life.
Yes, 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 yes. That's wonderful. That's great and wonderful. Well, I am very big on, like, we do not have to take up the entire 2 hours if it's not necessary. I have asked all my questions.
Okay.
I also am fine with not hearing myself talk. But, that's the cue, and then people press 1. So we're going to go back to the line.
Okay.
I think I just saw somebody hit 1. I think this is, hold on, let me double check. That usually cues people. If you're on the line, press 1 if you have a question, comment, or concern. 314, have we already spoken to you?
Yes, yes, you have, guys.
Oh, all right. I just was making sure. Oh, there it is. All right, another number came up. 248, you are on the line. State your question, comment, or concern, and thank you for listening and joining with Ty.
Peace, Queen. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? I was hoping you were going to call in. How you doing?
You spoke to me when you said, I see a call, but you saw the call before I actually did it. And that was my cue for me to go ahead and chime in.
Yeah.
Energy,
share,
huh?
Share with you. Yes. I'm glad you called in. I did get your text, and I will respond tonight. I just like to get through the show. So, but yeah, go ahead.
No problem. Peace, sister. I'm glad you are on the call. I know you can tell I'm a little bit hoarse, but I just wanted to say that I do appreciate you, ladies, for being on a call and sharing your time. I have really been doing some healing work, and when I say it is not easy, like right now I'm sitting in a hotel room by myself right now. I have it for 3 days, and it's just self-reflection, you know, self-reflecting and just really going deep. And, you know, when you have to, like, really face those things that you were saying, it is not nice. And like you said, people think that it's just a pretty ride and everything is just, oh, it's still beautiful. That is not the truth. You are not really doing any healing work. And I'm transitioning over to as far as the vegan style and really just trying to make that a part of my lifestyle. And being more in tune, because I really do want to ascend. Like you said, that's going to happen regardless. But I want it so bad. So it's like I'm cutting off everything. I'm talking about whether I have to be celibate, I have to eat right, I have to clean, throw some things away in my house. I mean, I've given away clothes, shoes. I've just been cleaning house, like, inside and out. So, And the foundation that you spoke on as far as the church idea, when I first came into, you know, the knowledge and knowing about the consciousness and evolving, I wanted to throw away the church, and mainly because of the simple fact of all the church hurt that I went through. But it was just interesting just to hear someone else say that it was still that foundation, You can't pull on the foundation. And that foundation has really been solid, like, regardless. Like, I've known that I could always, no matter what, fall back on God. You know, fall back and go back to that foundation and build again. When you got a solid foundation, there's always something that you can build on. So just knowing that, it brings a lot of peace in troubled times. So.
Ty, why don't you share how you got to a place of, like, honoring that foundation?
Because this, number one, talking to the counseling with people that are in my life that I can kind of bounce stuff off of, and they let me know that I wasn't tripping, I wasn't going crazy. Sometimes, you know, one of my people just told me, you just outgrew it. And I just outgrew it, and I just needed to ascend to a different level and have a higher understanding, because what I was learning is like, okay, I know this. I get this. I understand that. But I knew that there's just more, and God was pushing me to, like, okay, I need you to go to this level. But you have to just be comfortable within that and say, okay, because my thing is I'm not abandoning God. I'm not abandoning anything. If anything, I'm going to continue to edify these teachings, but I'm also find that there's a metaphysical part of the Bible, and that understanding is real as well as the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that was where I just, you know, I just kept seeing the similarities. God just kept pointing it out. I'm like, whoa, hold up. And so I just had to get comfortable. I just had to get comfortable and just know that God still loves me, that I know that I'm one of his favorite, and I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, I can move in and act, but that's what he needs me to do. You know, if I need to pray for somebody, if I need to send them, I have a church to send them to if that's their belief system. You know, I can flow in and out of practices. You know, I'm a firm believer in that, and I believe that he uses me for that all the time, period. And I just...
And that was...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That was my main battle, like me always second guessing myself. I did it like 3 times today. And my friend, she was like, Bree, she said, when are you going to learn? You cannot keep second guessing yourself. She was like, you have to really trust and know that what you know, what you're feeling, that's what it is. And she was like, because you keep second guessing yourself. And that's the thing, like, and then, you know, too, we as women or people, I notice that we worry about being alone or being lonely. And so we'll settle for things. And at that time, you're not putting God first, the Godhead in your life. You're not acknowledging the Godhead, which is your higher self. You're not acknowledging. You're really putting yourself in the space of your lower self. So you begin to accept things and make decisions out of your lower self, and then you get the results that you get, and then you look around and say, why? But that's the reason why. So just really just knowing that, and it hurts because you're like, I thought I made this decision out of love. I thought I made this decision. No, that was out of low self-esteem. That was out of, you know, no, because your God had told you, you don't have to, you know, this is what you do. So just really building that relationship with self, which is, you know, and with God, knowing that this is what it takes, no matter what, you're going to be good. So, this subject was really, it was really a blessing for tonight. Yeah.
I'm glad that it blessed you, you know, and know that you're not alone, and know that, you know, everything is going to work out. You know, you just have to keep moving forward and not look backwards, and don't look on the sides either. You just keep moving forward, you know, one day at a time. You deal with it one day at a time. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, and this is, you know, those are things you don't tell everybody because everybody's not going to understand. So one of the things I didn't tell people, I had a couple of people that I talked to. I sat with one of them, and these were people that I knew that can not tell me what to do, but to listen and also just kind of maybe give a guidance here and there. So, you know, that's what you have to be mindful of, because at the end of the day, it's your ultimate decision. I don't care who you talk to. People are going to talk. If you talk to people that are not on a spiritual level that where you're at, they're not going to understand, and they're going to think that
that's
it's true. That you're going to have to talk to the people that are there or have been through it, and to where they can listen, and you can kind of bounce it off, because sometimes once you bounce it off, you answer your own questions.
You're right.
You answer your own questions. You know, you just need somebody to sit there and listen, and then before you know it, you done figured it out. But you
because everything is from within.
So at the end of the day, you have to. God wants you to make the decision. He does not want it to be persuaded by anything or anybody else. You have to make it. You have to say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. This is I believe wholeheartedly. This is what you called me to do, and I'm going to stand on that. Because people are going to not understand. Oh, my God, they're not going to understand. So I don't tell people. People, as they start to hear me or as I interact with them, they'll see. But don't try to explain it, because it's not going to come out right. You know, it's not going to come out. Just be authentic in who you are and keep working on yourself. You know what I'm saying? And if right now, if you need to be, like you said, in the room, to where you're reflecting, you know, do what you got to do, because it's all for you. It's all for you to do what it is to serve your purpose here on earth. You know, we have to go through that, because like in the delivery room, when you're birthing something, you don't have all the people in there. So right now, you're going through this thing. God just said, okay, if that's where he has you, that's what you need to do. And be okay with that. Be okay with that. You know, be okay with him downloading things. Be okay with him removing old stuff. Be okay with that. Be okay with being alone. Be okay with that. Be okay with saying no. Be okay with those things, you know? And once you become okay, you'll just start to see those. You'll just start to see those, that stuff that you're looking for manifesting your life. But it's okay to be alone. And you're going to cry. It's going to be dark. It's going to be all those things. I've been there. I know. Sometimes I still go through those things, but not as bad, because now I have a better understanding of what's happening.
So, you know, I have a question. I just have a question, and I'll let you guys go. So when you're going through this process and you're going through the spiritual journey and awakening and you're doing this healing, I noticed that, I don't know if it's me or if that's kind of like what happens within that process, but I see like a kind of like a stagnation, but not like really stagnant, but like things are kind of like just on pause for right now. Like the ideas are still there, things are still flowing, but it's like at this moment I'm not like putting my anything into it. It's just like I'm just like, you know what, whatever is whatever right now. I'm just focusing on me. So I don't know if that's like a part of, like, is that something that just comes, like you just like forget it, like have you ever experienced that before?
It does happen. It's almost like I kind of describe it as I was getting like a new light, like a new slate. Like you don't know what you're going. You're just like, whoa, it's different. And it is that, because a lot of times when you experience the stagnation, is because in order for you to get to that next level, you got to be ready for it. So it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. You know, everything is in God's time. Just know that. It's only for a moment. And once you complete what you need to complete, you'll go to the next level. So,
yeah, because I feel like my perspective is changing. Like, even how I'm perceiving people or how I'm perceiving a lot of things is like, it's different. It's like really different. Like, and my tolerance is like really low. Like if it's not in tune, or it's not like I see myself like not even giving it a chance, I shut it down real quick. So I was like, is it me? Am I going through something? Am I just being like short, or you know? But I guess that's just me growing.
You're just growing, you know. You're growing and you're shedding some things, you know, and that's okay. And be gentle with yourself. Give yourself some hugs.
Thank you,
lady. Oh, my pleasure.
Of course. If you are on the line and you have a question, comment, or concern, or gratitude, support to Ty, for being with us tonight. Go ahead and press 1. You are on Beautiful Evolution Radio. I am your host, Healer Asset Miriam, and we are on New Evolution Radio, where the evolution is the revolution. And our H&I is Brother Joey, the God, and he is a dear, dear brother. It's him and Ty. I actually am on the phone with my two balances. I have Joey on one end and Ty on the other.
I just wanted to give Ty a shout out. You know, when I seen your picture with the hat on and your sweater, I like your style. So I like your energy from you, from when I just seen your picture, yo. So I like your energy. You got great energy, yo. Thank you.
Oh, blessing. I appreciate you.
No doubt.
I appreciate you. It's nice to meet you too.
No doubt. No doubt.
And let me say, that ain't shit. When you see Ty dressed for real, for in person, Ty's like one of the best dressed people in Colorado, yo. So like,
no, I thought you got some style. I like the picture. I picked up your energy from that, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I want to say thank you to Ty. Thank you for being in my life, for being such a strong staple in my life. I think there have been transitions where you just have been there. And we were talking a couple of weeks ago, like it has been 20 years since we have known each other. And so, like, you know, that just put me in reflective mode. And I was like, I wonder if she knew that one small statement or the one small thing she did or the hug that she gave. I wonder if she knew how impactful that was to my life at the time. You know, like, and I told myself I was going to save it till you got on the show to just share. Like, there were so many moments throughout my life. I mean, I remember years ago being at your old place and like telling you I have this dream about this school and I think that this could happen, and like, and mm-hmm. you're saying like, do it, go, like, yes, you can make that happen. And so just knowing that you've always been there, and I'm just in gratitude. I'm excited to share how beautiful of a spirit you are to our listeners, and also just want to celebrate you and say, like, you're such an awesome being, and I love the way that you have surrendered and let God use you. I think there's been moments throughout our friendship that you may not have even recognized how much of an impact you've had, but I just need to let you know that, like, I appreciate you, I value you, and you mean the world to me.
Oh, wow, thank you. I receive that. I receive it all. I appreciate you in my life too. You know, you've been a constant in my life, and I love you. I love you and your family, and I can't wait to be a part of VPAC some more and get some mm-hmm. other things going. So, you know, I'm here for you. I appreciate you.
Yes, and I love you too. I love you dearly. All right. Well, that is our show, family. Thank you for joining us. Again, you can reach Ty and you can email her at Thailands1, that's Thylandz as in zebra, 1@yahoo.com. If you shoot me a text or anything after the show for some services and you want to get with Ty and you didn't hear that, I can text you the email as well. She's a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful, powerful being that you do want to know and you do want to have access to. So, Ty, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Pleasure.
And, yes.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.